out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 334. This is the Retro Fun Edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I'd like to say hi and a big welcome to everybody out there who's joining us. This is being recorded direct live to Hard Drive, May 13th, 2009. It has been a long time since I've actually recorded an episode here. Usually don't go, more than 3 or 4 days without recording. And since I recorded two episodes last Wednesday, one of which debuted on Mother's Day, this feels kind of weird to have that kind of break. So it's been a great week so far. The classes are over. All that's left is for the students to wait for their grades, and I have nothing to do with that. So now begins the great cleanup. We have lots of stuff to do for the semester and work, after the semester. So it's going to be nice and smooth sailing there from here on out. A lot of other things piling up. So hopefully I'll be able to announce some things in the near future about what's happening with the show and all that other stuff. This is a great week we got going for you here. I'd like to thank again my co-host from the last show, my mother. She did a great job. I've had a lot of really positive reviews on the show in general, so I'm glad to see that that went over well. The only thing that I am very glad about moving on forward from that is that the audio quality is back up to being high and what I would consider top-notch. I didn't have everything set up correctly, and any other shows I do like that live on location kind of stuff are going to definitely strive to have a little bit more equipment on hand. I didn't have the proper headphones, couldn't manage things, but I think it sounded all right. You did, however, get a large dose of my son in the background playing with his little people in the barn that was next to us, so that was actually kind of fun to listen back over that. We got a ton of stuff to go over for you today. Today's show is being produced under the good portion of caffeine, so you're going to have to bear with us as we stumble and stutter throughout the entire thing. I did want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor before we got too much further into the show. Anytime I can avoid getting in my car to drive to a meeting, I do. And that's why I started using GoToMeeting, to hold my meetings online. Now, instead of wasting time and money sitting in traffic, GoToMeeting has become absolutely indispensable to me. It's perfect for sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos, and it's incredibly affordable. Plus, it's only $49 a month. You can hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. It includes phone and voice over IP conferencing, so I want you to sign up for GoToMeeting today and have your first meeting running tomorrow. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but first you must visit gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts for a free 30-day trial. All right, we have an absolute ton of content to talk to you about today. We have a decent amount of quick hits. We have a ton of geek craft and a little bit of caffeinated bits to round out the end of the show. We're all back to the normal segments as they normally were. However, if you were looking for this podcast and you were unsure as to where it would go in the vast interwebs, it's home. Home is currently nestled over at www.caffination.com. That is caffeination.com. Being that you're listening to Caffeination Podcast, it kind of seems to, you know, work its way out. All right, we're going to dive right on into the quick hits section here at the Caffeination. It is sad, really. I got to tell you, this is just kind of a little blip, and then we're going on. It's sad, really, when the rich don't really kind of take into account what they want to do with things. There's a story that's kind of being circulated around that Steve Jobs bought an incredibly historic mansion out in California. Here's the issue. He didn't like it, so he was going to bulldoze it. In the United States, if something is on the Bureau of Protected Buildings, it has to be completely and utterly unrepairable in order for you to actually be able to do that. So what he did was he moved out in the mid-90s and pretty much let it fall into disrepair. And then he somehow got along with letting the building rot, and instead of taking care of it, he's going to bulldoze it. You know what? If you're that rich, if you have that kind of money on hand, why not just buy land and build the exact same kind of house that you would want? It doesn't really make sense to deprive the world of a historic building just so that you could have the one piece of property. I know it's all about location, but that's more than a little sick. All right, moving right along, we have an interesting little article from over at Hackaday. They usually don't do this kind of stuff, but this is less of a hack and more of an art piece. It's a LED Enterprise. I don't know which version of the Enterprise they were actually going for, because it's incredibly bare bones, if you will. The two main warp drives on the side describe were actually just long LEDs with big tails and resistors, and the front disc of the Enterprise itself was actually a interesting little battery. So I'm pretty sure the whole thing lights up. I just thought it was funny and wanted to pass it along. All right, next little bit of news is actually coming out of the New York Times. Venetia Fair, the woman who actually got to name the ninth planet, now not a planet any longer, has died at 90. She named the planet Pluto when she was only 11. And if you read the lovely story that they have about her over at New York Times, she has been adamant about it since the day she made the name, that she actually named the planet after Hades, after the Roman god of the underworld, Pluto. So, and it was actually shown that the dog in Disney was named after the planet and not the other way around. I'm actually a little bit happy to see a story like this come out, because there's so much other junk going on in the world. So it's really kind of interesting to see. I know these are fluff pieces, but it's still interesting nonetheless. All right, moving right along. The next little thing that we have up for you here is this is just plain awesome. Do you know the code? What I'm talking about is the Konami code. It's up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A. So if you enter that on the website that I actually sent you to, KonamiCodeSites.com, you will actually get access to a list of sites that have extra hidden Easter eggs. I mean, I never even knew that this was around, so it's actually kind of funny. So if you're on Brightkite and you enter the Konami code, it turns all of the little icon pictures for everybody that's in your list, turns them all to Captain Picard for no apparent reason. If you go to GamePro.com, it actually brings up an episode of GamePro, like when they were back on cable in like the early 90s, and they had two like Bill and Ted wannabes on there. It's insane the stuff that gets pulled up, and there's a huge list of sites over there, so I highly suggest you head on over there and check that out. I thought it was pretty cool. All right, next little thing up for you here. I am a sucker for pool tables. I love playing pool. I don't have enough room in my basement to adequately install a pool table. I don't have enough money to go out and adequately purchase a pool table that I would enjoy. I'm pretty sure I could pull, you know, get one of the little folding table varieties, but that's not the kind I want. I want, like, the slate top and all that. But, you know, that might actually be changing a little bit. The story here is that there's a glass top pool table, complete with, you know, see-through ball returns and everything. There's two different varieties that you can actually get at this. First of all, this thing weighs in at around $2,500. So I got to be telling you that I'm not going to be purchasing one of these anytime soon. But there's the clear glass one, and then there's also the frosted glass one, where you can actually add a light glass low to the underside. So I think that's really cool. The only problem is I end up popping up the balls all the time, and I don't want to actually chip a table that's worth $25,000. So I'm passing it along to all you out there. So I just thought it was pretty funny. Next little thing that we have up for you here is from over at SpriteStitch.com. What will the future archaeologists find? Perhaps they're going to find fossil controllers, or it's just an interesting little example of casting done in plaster of Paris and concrete. Either way, I thought these were really cool. It's going to be interesting to kind of extrapolate this beyond what they really are. They're just interesting little impressions. But if you take it one step further, what are people going to look at, you know, 10, 20, 40, 60, 120 years down the line? You know, what are they going to look at the artifacts that we leave behind? We have a lot of plastic, and I got to tell you, that's not going anywhere anytime soon. So it is entirely possible that some future archaeologist is going to come by and, you know, unearth a Nintendo 64 controller and find, you know, some weird ritualizing object story to attach to it. So I just thought it was funny and wanted to pass it along to everybody out there. And then the last little thing that we have for you here in the quick hits is Retro is the new gadget. Everybody is talking about this thing. This is an interesting little thing called a Retro Mini. It's for playing Nintendo tapes. Yes, you heard me correctly. It's for playing the old school Nintendo Entertainment System 8-bit cartridges. This is not for playing ROMs. This is not for playing games that you downloaded offline, although I'm sure there's some way to make it do it. This is to actually plug a cartridge, you know, complete with having a blow-in and everything, into the back of this little handheld device, and there's a tiny little screen in the middle of it so that you can actually control all the characters and have all the same fun that you used to have way back in the day. I love this. There's no way to explain exactly how cool this is, except for the fact that I'm now really regretting the fact that my family no longer has any of the old Nintendo cartridges laying around. I mean, I know that they just kind of took up space there for a while, but I mean, how awesome would that be? So I just wanted to share with the group. And then the next little thing we have up for you here, I just thought was pretty funny. It's called A Deadly Closet Impales Your Clothes Magician Style. The idea behind this thing is that this is just a wheeled closet with a picture of, or rather a silhouette of a person with little X's for eyes up there. there, and that there's fake sword things thrown through there, and this is how clothes are hung on it. I think this is a really cool and interesting idea. I don't really think that this would find its way into the caffeination layer in any kind of stretch of the imagination, but it is interesting to see how people could organize things differently with just a little bit of out-of-the-box thinking. And by out-of-the-box, I of course mean skewering it with swords. The only cool thing that they kind of missed out on is they should actually be real swords. That's all I'm saying. They don't have to be sharp, but if they were actually real swords, I think this would be a lot cooler. So as it is, it's still pretty interesting. All right, that about wraps up the quick hits section here at the Caffeination Podcast. You know, we're kind of trying to roll along because, like I said, you know, I had to lube up the jaw before I started this show. There is a ton of stuff to talk about. So just to mention in passing, if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail on anything else that we're talking about on today's episode, please feel free to send it via email to caffeination@gmail.com. Or you can head on over to the website, caffeination.com, and check out all the other interesting ways to contact us. All right. Up first in the Geekcraft section here, Google ups the ante. They've recently released a whole bunch of new services that they're trying to wheedle into the labs and a whole bunch of other stuff. One of them is called Google Squared. It's basically a service just for searching for facts. Another one that they're actually trying to put out there is a way that you can actually kind of use like Yahoo Tubes a little bit. It's kind of like a way of refining exactly what you're looking for. Have you ever gone on Google and say, okay, I want all of the images of trepanation, which is something I was looking for today because I had a massive headache. No, I wasn't thinking of drilling a screw, you know, a hole in my head. What I was actually thinking of was, you know what, I want a image, like an old school medieval image of, you know, a guy with a big, you know, curly drill going into somebody else's head, and I just want to post that to Twitter and say, you know, this is what I want to do today, because it was a really bad headache. But, you know, I digress. So if I was going to be using some of the new services that are out there, I'd be able to say, okay, I'm just looking for images. I want the keyword medieval. I do not want anything related to Pulp Fiction, because anytime you search for medieval, somebody's getting medieval on something else, and it's not really what I wanted. So it's like there's ways that you could actually drill down into the service to actually get a lot of more done. So it's really kind of cool. They had a lot better examples up there. I just wanted to kind of push you in the correct direction of some of the stuff that's out there. This is from an article from over at the Wall Street Journal. It's not very often that I end up linking to a lot of the big ones on today, but I think today we hit the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and you know, maybe some Fox 29 or something like that. I'm not really sure. Alright, next little thing that we have up for you here is a Square Enix shuts down a fan effort. You know what? I'm getting really tired of this. There were fans of a game derived from Square Enix, the game company, called Chrono Trigger. That was the original game's title. These fans have been asking and pleading for a sequel for years. None has been forthcoming from the game company. So what they decided to do was, using completely original screen work and everything else, they decided to program their own game. I don't know if they were going to be selling it. I don't know if they were just going to be releasing for free. But they got sued by the company. They got a whole bunch of nasty grams sent out. And they had to shut the product down. Here's the issue with my issue with that. They're taking, you know, it's a derivative work. It's allowed by copyright. You're not taking something that they did and making money off of it. What you're doing is you're taking something that they did and making something new out of it. It's a very basic concept that, I mean, any remix artist out there, anybody who's ever heard classical music that was derived from an earlier kind of classical music, people have been stealing things as long as people have been hearing things. So it's not like you're taking the idea wholesale and selling it. That's lying. They're taking the idea and they're making something else out of it. And not only that, but this is a fervent fan base. This is a very passionate group of people who are very talented. Why didn't Square Enix actually set out the extra step of saying, you know what? Hey guys, how about we hire you? How about, you know, a couple of you come on board and we'll give you a little bit different resources? You already have the game. How would you like to make some money as an actual developer for the game? You know, yes, I know that would, you know, set up a strange precedent to put out there, but could you imagine the great press that Square Enix would be getting right now? I mean, they're the same people that did Final Fantasy and all the other stuff, so obviously they're not hurting for cash. But at the same point in time, you're looking at this going, man, this is a really fantastic opportunity, and you guys just spit right in its face. I mean, there's no other way of saying it. All right, next little thing that we have up for you here. One of the things that we talked about with my mom on the last show was that one of the major limitations of e-books is actually the fact that they're only black and white. Well, gotta scratch that one off the list. Might have to go back and edit the episode. Sun Chemicals has apparently found a way of recreating certain colored pigments in e-ink pages to allow for up to 80% of the same color impressions that you would see on a regular piece of paper. So roughly 80% of the colors that you would be able to reproduce in a piece of printed work. So they're getting closer and closer to being able to replace magazines and newspapers with the ebook. I'm really not a fan of the idea of replacing, you know, fictional, paperbacks and trade paperbacks and stuff like that. You can replace anything out there that's going to, you know, be a wasteful resource, like textbooks. I mean, textbooks would be fantastic to stick on these things. Textbooks, newspapers, you know, periodicals of all kinds and shapes and places, you know, medical journals, stuff where it's just tons of information that you'd love to be able to parse through and search through. That's where the e-book readers are really going to find their niche. So who knows what's going to actually end up happening. All right, moving right along here. Zombie Ants, thank you very much to Paul from Twitter. These are really, really crazy ants. The only way to describe this, and he sent me this because of our frequent interlopers, the frequent stories that seem to crawl through here looking for brains. Imagine this. There's a horde of fire ants that are currently invading the southern part of the United States. They're actually eating electronics and a whole bunch of other stuff, so there's a bunch of researchers out there that have found a way to actually get rid of them. It's a little bit squeamish, so I'm going to try and gloss over some of the nastier details, but you can only go so far. There's a type of fly out there that actually lays larvae in the ants themselves. The larvae eat the brain of the ants. The ants wander around without a brain for 2 weeks until they die, and then the larva is born. And the larva then hunts out for other ants. So what they're saying is that the ants actually end up avoiding these larvae and stuff like that. And they're calling them zombies, but not in the true sense. They're not reanimated corpses, but they are infected with a certain kind of disease. So it's crazy. It's kind of fun and cool. But then again, you know, when you're really looking at it, you say, okay, so this is something that eats brains and actually controls a little bit of locomotion after the fact. Long after the nervous system is pretty much gone out of the entity, what's to say that nobody's going to try and make a larger version of these, and we're going to end up having the flies rule the planet as we become their food? I'm not really sure about that, so I just wanted to pass it along, just so you can be careful. You know, if you see any particularly large mosquitoes this summer, you might want to get out the fly swatter or the Raid. All right, a little old, a little new, and a little heavy. How do you study? I know my mom and my dad had a little bit of trouble getting me to study. I hated studying. I still do. I'm just really not a fan of it. If I have to work too hard at something, it ends up being more of a chore than an actual enjoyment. So I've had to kind of force myself to study when I have to. So this would probably force me to study, but then again, I would probably spend more time trying to get out of the thing than actually studying, so it would be a little counterproductive for me. This is called the study ball. It enslaves your lazy kids. Basically, it's an anklet attached to a 20-pound cast iron ball. Yeah, old school ball and chain kind of stuff. But the fun thing about it is that there's actually, on the cuff is a little time alert. So you set the time until it releases. You can buy one for $115. So if you have some kids that need a little extra motivation, or if you have some roads that need to be built, you can get your own little chain gang working with one of these. I thought it was pretty funny, so I wanted to pass it along. All right, now next up here, I'm not really going to dive into the fashion industry here, but this is a definitely geeky bride. There's a bride out there who managed to wire several hundred, 300 white LEDs into her wedding dress. So as she danced her first dance with her husband, halfway through the dance, they turned on. I'm not really going to say whether or not I think it's classy. I think it's interesting. I think it's cool. I'd love to see the wiring job on it. That's the geek inside me trying to scratch its way out. But at the same point in time, I'm looking at it going, really? Really? Unless you are an electrical engineer, or unless your wife or your husband's an electrical engineer, or if it's some kind of in-joke, it just seems a little bit out of place. But hey, you know what? That's me. All right, next little thing that we have up for you here is an MIT engineer has filed for a patent on the Get Smart's Cone of Silence. If you ever saw the show, you know how ridiculous that sounds. The only thing that I'm kind of wondering about is, you know, patents are often refuted for prior art. So if the movies have come out with the Cone of Silence, the original TV shows have come out with the Cone of Silence, and somebody from MIT, a generally smart body of people. I don't really think you get to associate with them if you're not on the ball, so to speak. They came out with their own little version of the Cone of Silence, so who knows where that one's actually going. It seems to be an interesting idea. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is two little sections. The first one's from over at Gigalohi.com, and then over to Flickr.com for the full set. But this is 8-bit fatalities. These are gruesome representations of different aspects of 8-bit gaming. I mean, we're talking Pac-Man, we're talking Mario Brothers, the original Final Fantasy, Kirby, Dig Dug, who's one of my favorites, Kid Icarus, and yeah. So Dig Dug, imagine if 8-bit art had, you know, taken a little fan art perspective and then add a little Salvador Dali, a little bit of a gruesome, surrealistic element to it. So I gotta tell you, it's awesome. Like, the Dig Dug is really cool. It shows you the Dig Dug sitting there with a little pump as he has it stuck into an enemy. And it's it says 8-bit fatality presents Dig Dug dead. And there's actually blood and gore and guts and veins all over the place. It's just fantastic. Kirby is particularly nasty. There's a lot of blood and an extraneous eyeball in the picture. That's all I'm going to say. Kirby looks a little bit zombie-esque in the picture. I love the set. There's a couple of them there. You really just got to go over there and check it out. There's no other way to say it. All right, we have two little Roomba stories here. iRobot Create draws on the floor. Somebody managed to cobble together a Roomba with one of the chalk printers that you've seen from the bikes in New York and stuff like that. So it's interesting. So you can now have your robot do graffiti all over your room or wherever else you unleash the beast. And then the next little thing here is absolutely beautiful. There's no other way to describe this. Somebody took a long exposure shot of a Roomba's path as they went around a room. And it's a really interesting to see the paths the thing took, you know, going all around the room. There's the what you would imagine, like the traditional like scattershot kind of pattern. But then for some unknown reason, in the middle of the floor, there's this great nautilus shape that kind of like twirls into the middle, just to make sure it catches everything. I guess this is the kind of thing where it's, you know, seeing patterns, seeing beauty in the mundane, where it's really kind of cool. I don't understand, you know, maybe, I don't know if these are used from the LEDs that were actually on the Roomba, but apparently this is in 30 minutes. One incredibly small room was done, so just passing it along because I thought it was that awesome. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is from over at boingboing.net. This is a tennis ball chair. You heard me correctly. There are 297, what they say, recycled tennis balls. I'm saying lightly used because they really don't look that faded. And they were kind of crafted together into one large pillar-shaped seat with a back on it. You know what? I would love to actually sit in this thing because it really looks comfortable. They're all glued together and everything, but it's at one of the design art shows in Brooklyn. So if you're in the neighborhood, you might want to head on over to that. Next little thing we have for you here is over at nerdapproved.com. Steam-powered dragon is a fearsome tin beast. That's the title that they have there. Got it. It's great. It's a five-segmented steam-powered nickel-plated boiler double-acting Wilco steam engine. Not really sure exactly what all that stuff is, but it sounds that awesome. So this is a steampunk dragon for all intents and purposes. They just didn't really hit the aesthetic that they were going for, but this is in actuality steam-powered. The only thing that it kind of is a little bit rough about it is that it costs $1,495. Yes, that's $1,495. So that's more than a little bit of pocket change going out the door for that one. Next little thing we have up for you here is Zelda in stained glass, heading back into the 8-bit realm. There's Link, particularly. It's not Zelda. On one side, they actually have a Triforce. But you know, I'm a stickler for good stained glass. My father does a lot of interesting stained glass, and he's kind of taught me what to look for. When, you know, like we've seen pieces in stores or something like that, he'll point out the imperfections and things like that. So it's interesting to kind of experience that stuff with somebody who's in the know. But when you look at something like this, and this is from over at SpriteStitch.com, this is actually an incredibly good piece of stained glass. This is relatively well done all over. I'm not really sure exactly what it's supposed to be beyond a candle holder. Like, I mean, I think if it was a true candle holder, you'd want all four sides on it because it doesn't really look that sturdy. My father's made things like this, and they have a tendency to crack at the joints if they don't have four complete sides. So just kind of a little word of warning. If you have $100 and you head on over to Etsy, you can purchase that one. All right, then the last little thing that we have up for you here is a fun little comic from one of my absolute favorite comic strips. It's from Lise Dicadou, Beginnings. This is by Somer and Lar D'Souza. If you ignore the top part of the strip, there's a great little thing. It's from back in the early days of the characters that are in there, Rain and John. So it's kind of interesting. The teacher goes through and says, forward 50, right 45, forward 25, right 90. Then they said, Rain, why aren't you participating? When the machines rebel against us, I don't want to be the guy who told the turtle what to do. Then the teacher sends him to the principal's office, and Rain yells back, they'll come for you first. What they're referring to is Logo, one of the older programming languages that's out there, where you had a graphic turtle on the screen, and you had to give the turtle instructions on where to go around and all the different kinds of shapes to make. This is really kind of taking me back quite a ways. Probably one of my first computer programming classes out there. I mean, other than, you know, 10 go to 20, 20 print world, or print hello world, this is probably one of the simplest and earliest programming languages that I learned. So I just, you know, got to take my hat off to the guys over at Least I Could Do, because seriously, it's that cool to have something that, you know, come out of absolutely nowhere. That is retro. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is a whole new section, if you're ready for it. We're heading on in, you know, going on and diving right on into the Caffeinated Bits section here. Stronger Play in Progress. This is a little rough. The idea behind this is that Congress is now, yes, the Senate is now putting forth a bill to tax caffeine. What they're saying is that it's an energy drink tax and stuff like that, but if you're going to tax caffeine, that means you also have to tax chocolate, and you're also going to have to tax tea and coffee. So you're really going to possibly be looking at a tea party. What's really kind of sad about this is what they're doing is they're labeling caffeine a vice, and they're kind of trying to put it into the same realm as tobacco. And if you really kind of look at it, you know, if you're going to start nickel and diming everybody for absolutely every tiny little vice or any tiny little thing that they think that they can get out of you, it's really going to be kind of difficult to eke out any kind of existence. And you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, you're going to be taxed for sitting there and daydreaming. I'm just waiting for somebody to come along one day, you know, when I'm at lunch sitting outside and you know, just kind of staring up at the cloud and say, that'll be $45 for cloud enjoyment today. It's really sad. And at the same point in time, it's like, you know, it doesn't affect everybody, so you're not going to have a lot of, you know, big outcry. But, you know, coffee's the second most traded commodity in the world, right behind gas. So right behind oil, that is, not gas. So I have a feeling that there's going to be a little bit of outcry if they try and push this one through. I just feel that there might. You know, I would hope that there would be. I'm not necessarily going to be leading the charge, but I will be within the peloton, so to speak. All right, and enough already. We have a great story from over that Mass sent to us. Thank you incredibly much, the fine fellow who writes for Coffee Hero and who ran ineedcoffee.com. But he's basically kind of calling a spade a spade here, and he linked me to an article. It said the end of bacon mania, and I think I have to agree. I have to tell. It's gone too far at this point. There's bacon-flavored vodka. There's bacon this. There's bacon that. Bacon is incredibly tasty. I'm going to give you the long and the short of the article here. Bacon is an incredibly tasty substance. It is great. It is wonderful. It is all things that it is meant to be. If you add bacon to most foods, it is much more flavorful and smoky and fattening, and it is great. But at the same point in time, we do not need bacon machine guns. You do not need bacon this, bacon that. You do not need bacon soap. You really don't need bacon salt, even if you really want to think about it. So I'm passing the article along to you because I thought it was something that had to be said at this point. It's not going to say that I'm not going to report on bacon-related topics, because I do enjoy a good bacon strip every once in a while, but at the same point in time, I don't think I'm going to be reporting on the bacon machine guns. I think that was the actual thing that tipped me over the edge, because it was a gentleman who had taken strips of crispy bacon and formed a machine gun, and it just looked kind of disgusting. disgusting. It looked greasy in his hands, and I just couldn't actually stomach looking at it for very long. All right, next little thing we have up for you is actually a design piece from over at Kohler Design. Yes, the people who do the faucets. This is one of the ones where you want to smack yourself in the forehead and say, why didn't I ever think of that? Have you ever tried to take a drink out of a faucet where you had to kind of tilt your head on the upside and, you end up sucking a little air bubble every once in a while in there or something like that? Well, the fine folks over at Kohler have found a way to move beyond that. It's actually a spout for a sink that with a twist of a hand turns from a regular spigot into a water fountain. And then there's a nice, lovely, wide bowl to catch the water either way. This is so blindingly and mind-numbingly simple that it really should have been done like 80 or 90 years ago. Everything that you could have possibly needed to do this, to design this, has been laid out on the table for you since indoor plumbing pretty much came into vogue. So other than being able to flush, this should have been the next kind of thing. As you're trying to sit there and wash your hands and as you're trying to drink the potable water, why not do it? This is that extra little step that it was sorely missing. So I wanted to kind of put it out there because I'm just stunned that I hadn't seen it before. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is the Whiskey Stones from over at ThinkGeek.com. Now, we've talked about these before, but they were actually from a different site, and they were incredibly expensive. It was like $15 for one stone. Well, now it's $15 for 8 stones. What these are is these are soapstones that are impervious to other liquids or to liquids or anything like that. You put these things in your freezer and then you add them to your scotch or you add them to your vodka or you add them to any kind of other drink and use them as ice cubes, and they retain their temperature for significantly longer and they don't dilute the drink that you're attempting to enjoy. So I love this idea. I think this is great, and I have a really, really strong inclination that I might end up purchasing a set of these for myself. And I might end up getting them for another scotch lover I know as well. So this is really kind of fun and cool. So I just wanted to kind of pass this along in case there were any other scotch lovers out there. Are there any other people who enjoy their spirits undiluted? You too can enjoy them. They're currently sold out, but I'm sure they'll get some back. They said they're going to have more in 524. Alright, now then the last thing that we have for you here is, folks, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, if you have a fridge in your office, how often do you clean it? Well, this has been getting a lot of play recently, but apparently an office worker in San Jose, California, attempted to clean out the fridge in the office by putting all of the nasty, rancid food out in the middle of the table in the break room. Then she proceeded to use all kinds of nasty household and probably commercial-grade cleaners to clean out the fridge. The concoction that was in the air at that point in time between the rancid food and the cleaners sent 28 people to the hospital. Sent 7 people to the hospital, nauseated 28 total. I've burnt popcorn and had people staring at me dirty for a couple days. I don't want to know how much this person's going to be ostracized. So if you're going to clean your fridge and it gets that bad to where things are looking like they're going to walk out, you're probably better off just taking it out into the back and going after it office space style. Just wanted to kind of say. All right, that about wraps it up here for Caffeination number 334. We have crammed absolute ton of stuff into one tiny little show, so hopefully you're going to be able to enjoy it. If you were looking for this podcast and you are currently baffled as to where it might be located, you can find this and all of its other episodic friends over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. Being that we are the Caffeination Podcast, it was a good place to go. You can also send me comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail to caffeination@gmail.com for any of those following things. You can follow me on Twitter for Caffeination, Facebook, the whole nine yards, whatever else you want to do, just search around and it's all on the website. So thank you so much for listening and stay caffeinated, people.